great to have you with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. Paul Ryan surprised the political world earlier this month by announcing that he would step down as Speaker of the House and retire from Congress completely at the end of the current term. Now, one Democrat hoping to flip Paul Ryan's seat from red to blue is ironworker Randy Bryce, known on Twitter as Iron Stash. Bryce has generated a lot of attention from the 1st District in Wisconsin and a lot of interest from Democrats in Washington who control campaign money. Well, Bryce has become something of a national liberal standard bearer as people prepare for 2018, but he still faces the daunting task of winning a congressional district that voted for Donald Trump by 10 points. I spoke to Randy Bryce and asked him about Donald Trump's appeal to the people he's trying to win over in Wisconsin.
Well, the thing is that he paid attention to working people. The reason why his shine is gone now is because he's not a working person, and he hasn't followed through with many of the things that he promised. Me, on the other hand, I've spent my entire life in the district, struggling along with our neighbors, and I know what we're going through. There's nothing in Washington, D.C. that is harder than what the working people of Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District are going through right now.
What about Donald Trump? I mean, he won the Wisconsin 1st District by 10 points, and that means an awful lot of people in your community voted for him.
Right, they did. And the people that I'm talking to that voted for Donald Trump tell me that they liked his message of draining the swamp. They like the drain the swamp talk, but what he replaced the swamp water with is a lot more toxic.
Look, Democrats, since Donald Trump shocked them and won the presidential election in 2016, they've been moping around, Randy, you know this, desperate to find a way to reach union Democrats, conservative Democrats, manufacturing Democrats in the Midwest. And it seems like Democrats see in you a potential answer to this riddle. Do you see it that way?
I do. And the thing is that over half the members of Congress are millionaires, and we need more working people in, which is why I'm doing it. Donald Trump made a lot of promises when he ran for office. And when I talked to union members and the union that I belong to, Ironworkers Local 8, I asked them, I was like, can you name something that he promised you that, you know, a promise that he's actually kept?
Now, Donald Trump, though, did promise to get tough on China. He promised to get out of NAFTA or renegotiate it. He promised new trade deals to get out of the trade deals that we're in. I think it's safe to say on trade, Donald Trump is pretty much made good on a lot of his promises. And I thought that a lot of union people, especially in the Midwest, liked that get tough on China, get tough on trade deals approach.
I think that going along with the tariffs, there definitely is a potential for that to be useful to help keep jobs here. But when it comes to the tariffs, originally it was going to be everybody's going to be affected by these tariffs. And then he hesitated and somebody mentioned to him that, you know, you didn't think this through fully. Then he took away Canada and Mexico from it. And like a week later, he removed Australia from it. We need a long, thoughtful process, not the shoot from the hip kind of thing that Donald Trump has done. I mean, the carrier jobs that Donald Trump promised that we're going to stay there, they ended up going to Mexico anyways. We're not there yet. You know, I'd love to see him be able to keep one of his promises, but just talking about something isn't actually seeing it happen.
Well, Randy, you've been getting a lot of attention nationally. I watched one of your campaign commercials online. You're standing in front of a crowd, presumably voters, and you say,
this is why we're going to win. This is what separates us from the other side. We care about everybody, and they don't.
What do you mean by that?
I've always been one to think that leadership should bring people together and lift everybody up. I mean, if you just look at the way that Donald Trump was able to be elected president, he did it on a basis of divide and conquer. Being Latino myself, and when I heard him talk about Mexicans coming here, being rapists and murderers, not sending our best, that was very offensive. And to have a man like Donald Trump actively point you out and say, you don't belong here, I had a problem with it.
Now, Randy, you've also come out and said that Congress should abolish ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yes.
Is that going to be a controversial position in the 1st District of Wisconsin? What's immigration like where you're from?
Well, it's one of the issues that really got me involved. Initially, it was kind of a radical thought, but then thinking, you know, really, it's not. ICE hasn't been around for that long. And talking to people that have interactions with ICE, they're going around and terrifying people. We're talking about people that, you know, haven't done anything. And especially when we're talking about dreamers, people that were brought here, average age 6 years old, aside from having documentation, by all their means, are Americans. This is the only land that they know. This is where they were raised. And I think it's unconscionable to have somebody, you know, like Donald Trump saying, we're going to tear your families apart.
What about social issues in the Democratic Party? What's the line that you're walking? People in the Wisconsin First want to talk about abortion and LGBTQ rights and some of the other things that Democrats talk about in Washington?
I mean, I'm supportive of social issues. I would consider myself to be progressive. What really is affecting people in the First District after this recent tax scam was passed is how are we going to keep our Social Security, our Medicare, and our Medicaid? Because after giving $1.5 trillion to people that don't need $1.5 trillion, it's the richest people in the country, now we're being told we can't afford to take care of our own working people when we need a hand.
Now let's talk about this race that you might be facing now that Paul Ryan isn't running for re-election. A former Paul Ryan staffer named Brian Steele just got into the race. He announced it over the weekend. And a lot of Republicans seem excited about his prospects. Paul Ryan was polling way ahead of you before he announced his retirement. Now, Brian Steele isn't Paul Ryan, but it is a Republican district. Is this going to be a tight race?
We'll see. I mean, we'll have $3 million where we're at right now. Whoever gets in is going to have a lot of catching up to do. And now as far as Mr. Steele goes, he's a corporate attorney, you know, another Republican that's going to carry the swamp water for the Republican leadership. Whoever does get in, they're going to have a lot of work cut out for them. But again, we're not taking anybody for granted. We're working just as hard, clicking on all cylinders to make sure we finish this race strong.
Well, you might scare some people off. I mean, you're raking in some money, Randy, more than most people at this stage in their political careers. Sometimes outside money can be a liability in a race like yours. People say, well, he's just taking money from outside interests. How do you answer that?
No, without a doubt. Again, I have to say that that's because we're up against Paul Ryan, who's Speaker of the House. And Paul Ryan is known for his prolific fundraising, traveling throughout the country himself, fundraiser after fundraiser, charging $10,000 for a photo with him. Me, on the other hand, you can have your picture taken with me. The charge was a high five, and that fee has been frequently waived. But we're spending time. It had been over 900 days since Paul Ryan faced the voters of the 1st Wisconsin District. And now comparing it to a district recently won by Connor Lamb, that district was won by 20 points by Donald Trump. And his district is seen as a plus 11 R-leaning district. And the 1st District in Wisconsin is a plus 5 R. It's been held by Democrats before Paul Ryan. Barack Obama won it his first time. Senator Baldwin won it as well. So it's a very winnable seat.
Well, Randy, I think I can predict one thing about your race, or at least I'm going to guess. Republicans are going to do what they often do in races like this. They're going to tie you to somebody who's very unpopular in the Democratic Party. They're going to try to tie you to Nancy Pelosi. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is a liability for Democrats like you who are trying to flip a district and get into Congress?
I think it depends on who you're talking to. It's not something that I spend a lot of time thinking about. I'm extremely concerned about making sure that we get another working person in Congress. And once I get there, I definitely would be anxious to see who wants to take the reins of the leadership position.
Now, let's put a pin on that. You're saying that if you get elected to Congress, you are not pledging to support Nancy Pelosi if Democrats win the majority and she's running for speaker again.
Anytime that there's an election in front of me, I take all the candidates. I look to see who's running, first of all, and then weigh them accordingly with interests of not just myself, but it would be the people of the district.
Randy Bryce, known on the internet as Iron Stash, where he rakes in the attention and, more importantly, rakes in the money, running in a Democratic primary to take the seat of Paul Ryan, the Republican Speaker of the House, who's not running for re-election in Wisconsin's 1st District. Randy Bryce, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Todd. It was great talking with you.
Well, before Randy Bryce has the chance to run against a Republican in November, he'll have to first secure his own party's nomination in the August primary. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Kathy Myers, another Wisconsin Democrat, hoping to win Paul Ryan's seat.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.